Chapter 2. New Beginnings for Green Gables. When Marilla's eyes fell on the odd little girl with red hair and eager eyes, she stopped short in amazement.
"Matthew Cuthbert, who is this girl? Where is the boy?" Marilla snapped.
"There wasn't any boy," said Matthew slowly. "There was only her at the station."
"Well, this is a right mess," Marilla said with irritation in her voice. "There's been some kind of confusion, and I don't know what to do about it."
"You don't want me,"
cried the girl, who was sitting at the kitchen table.
"You don't want me because I'm not a boy.
I might have expected it. Nobody ever did want me. I might have known it was all too beautiful to last." She buried her face in her arms and sobbed violently. Marilla and Matthew looked at each other, neither of them knowing what to do. Finally, Marilla tried to calm the girl.
"Well, now, don't cry anymore. You'll have to stay here until we investigate this affair. What's your name?"
"Anne Shirley, and it's Anne with an E,"
she said, wiping a tear from her red cheek.
"Very well, then, Anne spelled with an E. Can you tell us how this mistake was made? We sent word to Mrs. Spencer to bring us a boy. Were there no boys at the orphanage?"
"Oh, yes, there was an abundance of them, but Mrs. Spencer said distinctly that you wanted a girl about 11 years old, and the matron said she thought I would do. You don't know how delighted I was. If I were very beautiful and had brown hair, would you keep me?"
"No, we want a boy to help Matthew on the farm. A girl is of no use to us."
"I guess she's tired," said Matthew, seeing Anne had calmed down. "Best put her to bed, Marilla."
"Come, girl, let's go upstairs," said Marilla as she took Anne up to her room for the night.
Marilla saw Anne into bed and then blew out the candle, wishing her a good night.
"How can you wish me a good night when you know perfectly well it's the worst night ever?"
Anne cried and hid beneath the blanket. Marilla, not knowing what to do, hesitated but finally left. Hearing her leave, Anne began sobbing and eventually cried herself to sleep. Back in the kitchen, Marilla found Matthew smoking, a sure sign that he was upset.
"Well, now, she's a real nice little thing, Marilla.
It's kind of a pity to send her back when she's so set on staying here."
"Matthew Cuthbert, you don't mean to say you think we ought to keep her? What good would she be to us?"
"We might be some good to her," said Matthew suddenly and surprisingly. "She's a real interesting little thing."
Matthew then left for bed, leaving Marilla to put away the dishes and consider their dilemma.
It was a bright sunny day when Anne awoke the next morning. She sat up in bed and stared out the window. First came a feeling of delight, followed by one of horror as she remembered. This was Green Gables, and they didn't want her because she wasn't a boy. Still, she was determined to make the most of it. Even though she wasn't really going to stay here, she would imagine she was. Oh, wasn't it a beautiful, lovely place? There was definitely scope for imagination here, and right away she decided to name the giant cherry tree that grew outside her window Snow Queen. Just then, Marilla appeared and saw Anne staring dreamily out the window.
"You'd better get dressed and come downstairs. Never mind your imagination, breakfast is waiting."
Anne followed instructions and bounded down to the kitchen.
"The world isn't so gray this morning. I'm so glad there's sunshine. It's all very well to read about sorrows and imagine living through them heroically, but it's not so nice when you really come to have them, is it?"
said Anne at breakfast.
"For pity's sake, hold your tongue," said Marilla. "You talk entirely too much for a little girl."
As Anne washed the dishes after breakfast, Marilla felt bad for snapping at the poor girl.
"She is kind of interesting, as Matthew says," she thought to herself. "I'm afraid that soon she'll be casting the same spell over me."
Marilla, still unsure about Anne's fate, decided to take Anne for a walk around the farm to get to know her better. The girl skipped along happily by Marilla's side, but Marilla soon became annoyed.
Anne would just not stop talking. Did you ever know of anybody whose hair was red when she was young but changed to another color when she grew up? She asked Marilla.
No, I don't know I ever did, said Marilla sharply, and I shouldn't think it likely to happen in your case either.
Anne sighed. Well, that is another hope gone. Enough of this nonsense. Now tell me about yourself. Just stick to the facts. Begin at the beginning and be honest. Where were you born and how old are you? Barked Marilla.
As they walked through the fields and lanes of Green Gables, Marilla learned a great deal about Anne.
She learned that Anne was 11 and that her mother and father died of fever when Anne was just 3 months old. Anne had lived with two families, the Thomases and then the Hammonds. She helped raise their children before both these families in turn were struck by disaster and bad luck. Finally, she had ended up at the orphanage and was there for 4 months before Mrs. Spencer came. She had only been to school now and then, but could read well enough. Anne finished up with a sigh of relief, as evidently she did not like talking about her harsh experiences in a world that had not wanted her.
"Were those women, Mrs. Thomas and Mrs. Hammond, good to you?"
asked Marilla with some tenderness in her voice, as she looked at Anne out of the corner of her eye.
"Oh," Anne said slowly, her little face suddenly flushed red with embarrassment. "Oh, they meant to be. I know they meant to be just as good and kind as possible."
Marilla asked no more questions as pity swelled in her heart for the child. What an awful life she had had. No wonder she had been so delighted at the prospect of a real home. It was a pity she had to be sent back. The child seemed such a nice, intelligent little thing. Once back in the house, Marilla sent Anne upstairs with a book while she consulted with Matthew. She told him about Anne's rough past and that she felt an uncomfortable conviction that if she didn't help this vulnerable child, it would haunt her to her dying day.
"And since you seem to want her, Matthew, I suppose I'm able to let her stay," she told him. "I've never brought up a child, especially a girl, and I dare say I'll make a terrible mess of it, but I'll do my best. So far as I'm concerned, Matthew, she may stay as long as you don't interfere with how I raise her."
A delighted smile crept across Matthew's face. "Only be as good and kind to her as you can without spoiling her. She'll be a good little girl if we love her," Matthew said softly. When Marilla told Anne that she could stay, Anne was filled with joy.
"Oh," she shouted, overcome by emotion, "I'm so happy! I'll do my very best to be good, I promise."
Marilla then made sure Anne understood that she would start school in a few weeks' time, in September. She also told her about little Diana Barry, who lived over at Orchard Slope. Marilla hoped that the girls would be friends, although she was careful to warn Anne about Diana's very particular and strict mother. Anne looked at Marilla, her green eyes wide with interest. She had always wanted a best friend, and she glanced through the kitchen window toward Diana's house before surprising Marilla with an embrace.
"You've made me ever so happy," Anne beamed. "A new home and a potential kindred spirit all in one day."